This is The Week in Addiction Medicine, a podcast resource of timely news and top stories brought to you by the American Society of Addiction Medicine, ASAM.
Today is Tuesday, March 12th, and I'm Claire Rasmussen. Our lead story this week in Journal of the American Heart Association is titled Association of Cannabis Use with Cardiovascular Outcomes Among U.S. Adults. In this study, the authors utilized the Brief Risk Factor Surveillance System Survey to assess association between cannabis use and cardiovascular disease. In a multivariate analysis, they found an association between daily cannabis use and myocardial infarction and stroke. Next, we have an article in the American Journal of Psychiatry titled Pattern of Risks for Psychiatric and Substance Use Disorders in the Offspring of Parents with Alcohol Use Disorder. The study found that the hazard ratio for offspring was highest for AUD followed by drug use disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, major depression, and anxiety disorder. All risks for offspring with two parents with AUD were higher than those with one parent with AUD. Next is a study in BMJ Health Services Research titled Healthcare Provider Perspectives on Emergency Department-Initiated Buprenorphine and Naloxone. This qualitative study assessed emergency department healthcare workers' perceptions around providing take-home buprenorphine in EDs. One significant barrier identified was time and space, particularly when the ED is busy with a high volume of patients. The other potential barrier was also a potential facilitator, provider familiarity with buprenorphine. The final barriers were patient-related, including willingness to start treatment and to wait in emergency departments to start medication. A new study in the Journal of Addiction Medicine is titled A Nationwide Survey Study of Recovery Community Centers Supporting People in Recovery from Substance Use Disorder. This paper reported on a survey about the operation and services of 198 recovery community centers in 39 states. It found a rapid growth in RCCs, with over half being less than 5 years old. Typical services provided by RCCs are recovery support groups, naloxone training, employment assistance, housing assistance, recreational and social activities, and volunteer opportunities. Using a 1-5 scale of openness to MOUD, RCCs scored 4.6, with 68% saying they were extremely open and 46% advocating that people use MOUD. Next is a study in drug and alcohol dependence titled 9-Year Substance Use Treatment Outcomes with Buprenorphine for Opioid Use Disorder in a Federally Qualified Health Center. In addition to MOUD, patients also received primary care medical treatment. Treatment retention at 6 months was 58% and 52% at 1 year. Of the 169 patients followed for the full 9 years, 66% were retained in treatment. Older age and having diabetes were associated with increased retention. A new article in the American Journal of Psychiatry is titled Setting the Record Straight on Long-Term Use, Dose Escalation, and Potential Misuse of Prescription Benzodiazepines. This editorial accompanies a study elsewhere in the issue, reporting that benzodiazepines are infrequently associated with long-term use and dose escalation. The authors note that while benzodiazepines have side effects such as sedation and mild physiologic dependence, an anti-benzodiazepine movement has caused fear and stigma about their use. The authors suggest that studies demonstrating adverse effects of these medications have failed to control for confounding conditions that are responsible for the adverse events. They state that benzodiazepines are effective and safe when prescribed to patients who are not substance abusers. Our next study in translational psychiatry is titled Mu opioid receptor antagonism facilitates the anxiolytic-like effect of oxytocin in mice. Previous studies have demonstrated that oxytocin reduced depression and anxiety-like behavior in male and female mice, and opioid receptor activation reduced depression-like behavior. This study hypothesized that opioid receptor blockade would inhibit the anxiolytic and antidepressant-like effects of oxytocin. However, naloxone potentiated the anxiolytic-like but not the antidepressant-like effect of oxytocin. The results suggest that endogenous opioids can regulate the oxytocin system to modulate anxiety-like behavior. Our final article in Drug and Alcohol Dependence is titled I Want to Stay Here, Patient and Staff Perspectives on Transitioning from a Low-Threshold Buprenorphine Program to Clinic-Based Care. In this qualitative study, the authors evaluated why patients at a low-threshold buprenorphine program in Baltimore designed to engage marginalized populations in treatment and then transition to longer-term programs were staying at the program rather than transferring. At this program, less than 10% of patients were transitioning to clinic-based buprenorphine treatment. In interviews, patients conveyed that they wished to stay in the program because the program conveyed respect for the patient and for continuity of care. These findings support expanding low-threshold programs and improving their sustainability. This concludes today's episode of This Week in Addiction Medicine. Remember to subscribe to the ACM Weekly for more exclusive content and our editor's commentary, delivered every Tuesday. Be sure to check us out on social media and ACM.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.